always welcome in our midst. Amen. Amen. And the way we welcome him isn't just by saying the words, but it's having a welcoming spirit. Amen. And having things made right and being surrendered. Amen. And that's how we make him feel welcome. We wash his feet, amen, with praise and honor, amen. Praise the Lord. Let's just bow our heads while we're standing here this evening. Father, we just, as the song expresses, Lord, we want you to be welcome here, Lord. Lord, we think back to the time that you walked into the Pharisee's house, Lord. You didn't receive a greeting. You didn't receive a kiss, Lord. Your feet were not washed. You weren't anointed. You were just pushed off into a corner, Lord. You weren't recognized as the honored guest that you were. Father, we don't want to make that mistake tonight. We want to recognize Jesus Christ in our midst. Recognize what you've done for us, Lord. Recognize, Lord, that you said you would be gathered together, Lord, with your people, that you would be with us, even in us, till the end of this age, Father. And Lord, we appreciate it, Lord. We would just be another club, Lord, if it wasn't for you, wasn't for your presence. But Lord, when you come on the scene and you move, Lord, you change things, Lord. You change hearts and minds, and Lord, you drive out evil spirits, Lord. You heal broken bodies and broken hearts, Lord. And Lord, you do mighty miracles, Lord, that we could never begin to understand in ourselves, Lord. But yet you're a mighty, miraculous, supernatural God. Lord, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're the same tonight as you've always been, Lord. Lord, we just commit this time to you here, Lord. We've set this time aside as a youth service, Father, to speak to the youth, but recognizing, Lord, that your word is for all of us, Lord. No matter what our age, station, rank, wherever we may be in life, Lord, you're the one that has what we have need of. But we know that our young people face a special battle, Lord, in this age and the time of life that they're in, Father. And so we just pray that you would bless them, Lord. We pray that you would speak to their hearts tonight, Lord, in a very special way, Lord, in a direct way, Father, a way that, Lord, they would receive it, Lord, is from you. Lord, that it would bring a change, Lord, that it would bring them up higher, it would bring them closer to you, Lord. That's our earnest desire tonight, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the service. Father, we thank you for our pastor. We just pray that you'd continue to be with him and continue to heal his body, Lord. Father, we look forward to the testimony, Lord, the manifestation of your word, Lord, as by your stripes he is healed. Father, I pray that you'd bless your word as we just change the order of the service now and surrender to you, Lord. We say, Lord, I want your thoughts, Lord. It may go completely the opposite of my thoughts. It might be hard, Lord. I might have to give something up. I might have to surrender in some way. I might have to surrender my own will. But Lord, I want to do that. I want to repent, Lord, with zealous repenting, Lord. I want to be right. I want your ways, Lord. Father, I know if we approach it that way, Lord, that you'll do a mighty work. And we're looking for that tonight. We thank you, Father, and we just ask you to bless your word tonight. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, musicians. Tonight, we would like to turn into Matthew chapter 25. And we've got what you would call the opposite of a deep subject tonight. That's not to mean that it's shallow, but it's one of those things that is the simplest of simple, yet somehow there's power in it. Amen? And we want to look to Matthew chapter 25 and verse 14. And then we'll read also in Luke chapter 16. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14, this is the very famous parable of the talents. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other five talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received the 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And we'll just cut it off there. It goes a little further, but that's the gist of what we want to get here tonight. And in Luke 16:10, Jesus says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Amen. Like to speak on faithful in little things tonight. Amen. Let's have our seats. Amen. Praise the Lord. Faithful in little things. Jesus said, faithful in least. Amen. So we see that Jesus is speaking to us about the kingdom of God. Amen. And he is expressing to us laws of God and how God's kingdom works. It's like if a scientist was to come into you and explain to you the natural world, right? And they would say, well, you see, we live by these certain laws. We live by the law of gravity, and we live by the law of thermodynamics, and this law and that law, and that's what affects all of our world. And Jesus is doing that for the kingdom of God. He's saying, these are the laws by which the kingdom of God operates. And he's giving us one of those. Right? Where he shows how God conducts his business. How God does things. Amen? Where he waits to prove a person and looks for them to be faithful in a little thing before they are given much. Amen? That's how he works. And we want to look at this concept and this law and see it applied all through the scripture and see how it applies to us. Amen. Now, so this parable, we want to briefly look at this. My Sunday school class is very familiar with this, or should be, because we've been going through the parables of Jesus. Amen. But for the rest of you, you can go ask them later for more details if you want. But we, you know, this is something, of course, that has been preached on many times, and I'm sure many of us are familiar with it. But these talents, you know, just so we're speaking on the same page here, a talent is a weight measurement, right? And so it would be like pounds for us, pounds and ounces, right? So it would be like saying, I gave, you know, somebody 50 pounds of silver. I would say that is a talent of silver. It's the weight of whatever the precious metal, usually silver or gold or something like that, would be. Okay? So in this case, He was giving them talents, and a talent of silver, that weight of silver, one talent, was worth about, was the same buying power as about 15 or 20 years' wages of an average laborer. So, you know, the buying power, you know, however you want to figure that. You know, you're looking at $1 to $1.2 million in today's buying, the ability to buy something, right? That's one talent, right? So, you know, one of them was given five, right? So he's proving them by giving them something very precious, right? Now, what we want to look at is that we have been given precious things. And the thing, you know, I'm using the term little things because that's a man's view of it, right? But what we would call little, or what humanity would call little, is actually a great treasure in the sight of God. Okay, so it's this paradox of value, okay? So let me also read to you from the Message Investments. Brother Branham talks about this, and he says, like, then again, before I go on, I'd like to say it's not a good idea to keep your money in your pocket. He was speaking to businessmen, and so he was trying to speak sort of their language, right? He says, many people say, I'll just put it in my pocket and I got it. But you know, you businessmen and women, you don't think in those terms, and it's not a good thing, because it can be stolen, and it's best to have it in circulation. Like the Lord said one time, he gives so many talents to so many and such, and then they made an investment with it. And those who made a good, sound investment, he give them the dividends. But when one man said, I just kept it, I didn't want to take any chances on it, I put it in my pocket, or I buried it somewhere, then they take in that which they gave him and gave it to the one that had drawn more dividends and had put it to a good investment. He said, and that's our Lord's way of doing things. Now, if you were going to invest in something that you wanted to be sure in, you'd find some good, reliable firm that has been proven that it'll pay off right. That's a good, sound investment. After you've tested the firm, you know its background, you've talked with somebody who's done business with them, and hear a testimony of everyone. 100%, they're always right on the dot with their dividends. There's a great resource of capital behind it. The company's not going broke. That's a good, sound investment. And now, all through life, people's been taught that, right? And so he's likening, he's bringing the parallel. This is the way that God does his business, right? He's looking to prove you. Amen? God is in the business of proving his children. And our life is a great proving ground. Amen? That's why we've been put here as a trial and a testing ground, to be proved, to be shown worthy, to be granted to sit with him on his throne. Amen? He's not going to give that place to just some unknown that's never been tested and tried and proven. He's going to make sure that his bride is proven and tested. Amen? So this talent was literally a fortune. By the way, then the word talent that we use for talent came from this original, you know, that's how talent became to be known as it is, right? It's something that you're given. You don't earn a talent. You just have it, right? It's something that you're given, and you're given it in your life, and God has given it to you and expects you to do something with it. Amen? You have a talent to sing. God gave you that. You didn't make yourself that way. Right? He gave you that with an expectation that you'll put it to use. That you're not just going to sit on it. You're not going to hide it. You're not going to put it in your pocket or bury it in the ground. But that you're going to put it into work for his kingdom. And that's why we get that's why we actually get the name of a talent. This one is talented, right? They've been given these abilities. They've been given gifts. They didn't earn it. They didn't make it. They didn't learn it. It was just given to them. But it was given with an expectation. Amen? It was given for a purpose. Amen. And we have all been given something beyond value. We've been given a chance, an opportunity at life. We've been given a chance, an opportunity to hear the gospel. We've been given an opportunity of eternal life. We've been given an opportunity to live for the King of Glory. Amen. That in the universe, there is nothing greater. And there is nothing on this earth that compares to that. Great opportunity. But he wants you to be faithful to that investment. Amen? He's giving you that. Like five talents. Like $5 million. He's just giving you life. And he's giving you ears to hear. And he's given you his word. And he's given you salvation and grace and mercy. And all of these things for you to take a hold of it. And do something with it. Amen? Be faithful with it. Not because we're trying to like compete with one another. Or we're not trying to win his love. He already loves us. That's why he gave that to us. Amen? But that we want to fulfill the potential of what he's given to us. We want him to be pleased. We don't want those things to go to waste. There's something in us that just hates things to go to waste. Isn't there? Just something that's just sitting unused. Like if you ever see a, like, you know, you see these stories or these pictures of like a sports car, like an old sports car, beautiful machine or whatever, and it's sitting rotting somewhere in a barn, right? What a waste. That's not what it's made for, right? It's made to be outbreaking the law, right? Outspeed, it's made to be out driving, right? It was built for a purpose. And that purpose wasn't sitting in the barn gathering cobwebs. And you were made for a purpose. Amen? And we want to fulfill that. We want to do that. We don't want to just be sitting on the sidelines. Satan would love nothing more than to take you and sideline you. Take your potential and shove it into a box so that you can never attain to what God has in store for you. But we believe, amen, and look for the day when he would say those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Because Jesus said here, "He that is faithful in that which is least is also faithful in much." He didn't say probably, right? Well, if they were faithful, they're probably going to be faithful. He was not wishy-washy about it. He said, if you're faithful, if I can trust you in the little things, I can trust you in the big things. All right? Now, the little things are the things here on earth. And the big things are the eternal things. Right? And the problem is, as we get those, we make a comparison. And we get our comparisons wrong. So that's what we want to talk about here tonight. We might do it consciously, or we might not even realize that we're doing it. But we always are making judgment calls about something, whether it's important or not. Right? Whether it's a task or a decision, or you're making a priority. Should I prioritize this over this? And you're always going to make a judgment call. You're always comparing the importance of something, right? And many times we say it without any words. We say it with our actions. We're showing what we think is a little thing and what we think is a big thing, right? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, in and of itself, that's not a problem. We should be doing that, but we should be doing it according to the word. When our judgment is according to human thinking, that's when it's a problem. Amen? Our judgment must be according to the word. So what do I mean? Well, if I have a choice to make, what is a big thing and what's the little thing? I'm weighing two things. right? I'm weighing, I've got an opportunity to take a job, but it will keep me out of church, right? Which thing is the bigger thing? Well, you're going to tell everybody what you think is a little thing and what you think is a big thing by what you decide, right? You don't have to be out there broadcasting and saying, well, I think that this, no. Whichever way you go, you're showing what is more important to you, right? What is the little thing in your life? Is serving God more important? Amen. Hallelujah. You say, well, maybe it isn't a big deal. Well, according to who? Is it a big deal according to God? Amen. And we can't compare ourselves to others. You know, because sometimes we will fall into a trap. Well, you know, at least I'm not as bad as she is. Right? I'm only, you know, a little, I'm just doing a little, but look at them. Right? We're comparing ourselves. Amen? I'm not living exactly like I should, but at least I'm not living like her. Amen? Oh my. Amen. Well, you know, maybe I'm just, you know, trimming my hair a little bit, but at least I'm not cutting it off like her. At least I'm not wearing those kind of clothes that she's wearing. I'm just, you know, I've got just a little bit of makeup, but I'm not like that. See? You're comparing. You're saying, well, this is a little thing and that's... Well, it's a little thing to you, but it isn't a little thing to God. One time, there was, we've all heard the story of Lot, right? Abraham and Lot. And Lot went off to live in Sodom and Gomorrah because he was drawn to the worldly cities. Right, there was something in him that was drawing him, and he gave in to that, and that was his whole family was destroyed because of that. Right, we know the story. His wife turned to Saul, all those things. But when Abraham was interceding for Lot, and the angels came down to Lot, and they told him, "Look, man, you got to get out of here. Right, destruction is coming. You've got to leave." And they told him, get all that you can and run to the hills. Go to the mountains. Right? All these cities, the cities where were the evil, where the evil was taking place. Right? All those cities in the plains. And God said, I'm going to come and I'm going to destroy all that evil. You get to the mountains where you'll be safe. Because I'm not going to destroy the mountains. I'm going to destroy the cities. And Lot... His response was pretty amazing if you ever read that in the Bible. He said, he responded to the angels and he tried to bargain with them. And he said, you know, I don't want to go to the mountains. I'm scared. He didn't believe God would take care of him. Right? He said, why don't you just let me go to this other city over here? It's one of the cities, but he said, it's a little one. Those were his words. Right? It's not one of the big ones. Like, it doesn't have all the sin that's going on at the big ones. It's just, and he even repeats it. You go read it sometime, right? He says, isn't it just a little one? Right? I mean, do I have to go all the way out? But can't I just go to this little one over here? Isn't it a little one? He says to the angel. And the angel says, you know, okay. And he goes there and he ends up going to the mountains anyway. Right? But you see, he was a lukewarm halfway believer. And he was making a judgment about what was big and what was little. Well, this one, it's okay because it's just a little sinful. Right? So isn't that better? I mean, I'm not in the big city anymore. I'm not in doing the big sin. I'm just a little bit. I'm just partway. Amen? And that's not what God called him to. God told him through the angels, get out. Even the little city was to be destroyed. Amen? But you see, those are the things that the enemy tempts you with. He tempts your mind. Oh, well, it's just a little. Right? I'm not doing that big thing over there. It was all condemned. People try to minimize their disobedience by comparing it to others. There's always going to be somebody worse. There's always going to be somebody better too. We don't want to go the other way either. Amen? It works both ways. You don't want to minimize what God is doing in your life by comparing it to somebody else and saying, well, there's nothing happening in my life. Well, God didn't do... He might be doing a great thing that you are overlooking and minimizing in your life. Amen? You might be overlooking your simple obedience in your life is a powerful thing, a great thing, a precious thing to God. So we don't want to overlook that way either. You might have power in your life that you don't even realize because you're being obedient in one simple little thing. We don't want to overlook those things. Many times when I look back in my life, I can say this now because part of the older crew, got a lot of memories behind me now. But many of my most cherished memories, as I was thinking about this, are not big events. They're really just moments that seemed insignificant at the time. And they're just moments with people, memories with people, things that at the time, you know, we were probably thinking about and worried about, or, you know, something greater, bigger that was happening at the time that we were all focused on. But now I can't even remember really what that thing was. I just remember the little moments with people. Amen? Anybody witness to that? Amen? But those little moments that seemed insignificant at the time, they formed the really the most important parts of who I am, of my memory, of my makeup. Amen? Something that at the time maybe I didn't appreciate, that I was overlooking. And, you know, I wonder sometimes if God's training program is that way. Amen? The most powerful, eternal things that God is doing in our life at the time, we're overlooking it. Because we're looking for something. We're looking for something that we think is greater. We're looking for something. Well, that can't be that way. But God works in simplicity. Amen? Amen. He's working something out in our lives that we're not even aware of it. From the message, Things That Are to Be, he said, do you know what you ought to do? Said, people believe you to be a prophet. Said, you ought to be teaching these women how to get great gifts of prophecy and things like that, and great higher things instead of little things. Yeah. I said, how am I going to teach them algebra when they won't even learn their ABCs? When they won't even do the common thing, the natural thing. How are you going to tell them higher things when you won't even start? You want to get at the top of the ladder before you even... You didn't finish the statement there. Hit the first rung is what he's saying, right? That's the reason you fall, see? Begin at the bottom and climb right on up as God leads you. See, cope your life with follow every bit of the word of God, the word that God has ordained for you to do. Now, think how that God, we should behave ourselves and act like Christians. Our conduct should be like Christians because we are aliens here. This is not our home. We're just put here temporarily. We got to go. Every one of us does. Amen. So he makes that great analogy. You can't learn algebra unless you've learned ABCs first, right? No, you don't. When they teach you in school, they don't take you, okay, you know, first grade, let's start doing some, calculus. Well, wait a minute, I don't even know how to add, right? You got to learn how to add and subtract, and you build, you, and those aren't, you know, looking back on them, we would say, well, that's a little thing. Well, it isn't to a kindergartner, right? That's a hard trial, right? It's hard. If you don't know that, it's an important step. It's an important thing. Like he said, it's a rung in the ladder. Well, the whole ladder's got to be there. You don't get to the top without starting at the bottom. And so it's all important. And we say, well, that's a little thing, but it's not an unimportant one. But isn't that amazing that that's what the Pentecostals of the day said about him bringing them in line with the word, right? They said, oh, teach us higher things instead of little things. And the very word of God was being restored to them. I mean, think about what God was doing through that ministry. We see it all through, you know, we've seen it in the scripture, the power of the seventh angel's message and what that message is to take us on into, the importance of it, and they called it little things. We can't and don't want to jump ahead of God's training program, right? Amen. So as we talk about little things, when we look at the task or whatever it may be, the size of it is not important. What we should look at it is it need to be done? Is it supposed to be done? Is it supposed to, something we're supposed to do or supposed to fulfill? It doesn't matter, big, small, whatever. If we're supposed to be doing it, we do it, right? Jesus showed us that in these parables, that being faithful in a little means that we'll be given a lot. And, you know, Brother Doug's brought this out many times, speaking about his experience in business, which is the same experience that I've had, where people get promoted when they're already doing the job, right? You've got to show that you can do it, right? I've had plenty of people that I've worked with, and man, they're just vying for promotions and they're trying to get into this job and that job, and they can't even do the one they're in. Why would I promote you? You're not even doing what we pay you to do. Right? Do what you're paid to do. Do it well. And then maybe we'll look at adding some other things on to get you to where you're looking to go. But be faithful where you are. This is good life advice. Amen? For us, for young people, old people, all people. Amen? We can't be just expected to be handed a position or, you know, handed some responsibility. We have to be faithful first. We've got to be doing what we're supposed to be doing first and foremost. And then God will stretch us. Amen? Amen. It's like, you know, I've heard this expressed before. Well, you know, we speak about a position in the church and you know, how should we fill this position in the church? And well, let's give it to so-and-so. Well, but they don't even come to church regularly. Well, if we give them a position, then maybe they'll come to church regularly. That's backwards. That doesn't line up with what Jesus said. Let them do what they're called to do first. Let them prove themselves faithful, and then you can add more, right? Let them show that they're ready for it. Amen? And now, young people, it works that way with courting too. All right? Maybe anybody ever heard that, you know, the girl is interested in the boy? Well, you know, but he's not. He's not serving the Lord like he should, but I can change him. Wrong. Let him show himself faithful first. Amen. Let them prove themselves before you get involved. Right. Then once they prove themselves, okay, then we can start to look at it, but not this attitude. You know, they call that getting the cart before the horse. It's backwards, right? I can change them. There's been plenty of marriages that have been based on that. Well, I know I can change him. Wrong. Let's look at Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, verse 22. Servants, obey in all things your masters. Servants. These are not even free men or women. These are servants, slaves. Obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Not with eye service as men pleasers. Don't just do it when they're looking. Don't do it to look good. Don't do that on the job either. Oh, the boss is looking. Look busy. Let me just do good enough so that he can, or he or she or whoever can think that I'm doing a good job. No. But do it in singleness of heart, fearing God. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. You should be doing it because God's watching you. Knowing that the Lord of the Lord you shall receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Now look, he's talking about natural things. He's saying, according to the flesh, be a good worker. And you'll receive a reward of the Lord. Amen. Showing yourself faithful. Amen? Amen? Doing the little things that you've been called to do. Amen. Sometimes great opportunities are hidden in those little things. Amen. And we don't know how God is going to use it. How God is going to open a door. If you would have just done that one little small thing, you might have been blessed beyond measure. Those opportunities are hiding there. Amen? There's always going to be people that are willing and rushing to do what they think are the great things. We call them politicians. All right? The race to be the leader, to be in front, to be seen is very crowded. Amen. But the field is wide open for somebody who wants to be a servant. There's plenty of opportunity for that. Amen. Galatians chapter 6, verse 3. And I've got this in the King James, but I also want to read it in the New Living as well. Just to get a different perspective on it. But Galatians 6:3 says, for if a man think himself to be something, he thinks he's something. There's a lot of things that are beneath him. Right? He's up here and everybody else. He thinks he's something. When he is nothing, he deceives himself. And a little, I'll give you a little hint. Most people that really think they're something are nothing. He says, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not another. For every man shall bear his own burden. And looking at this in the New Living, maybe understand a little better. If you think you are too important to help someone, you are only fooling yourself. You are not that important. Pay careful attention to your own. See, that's a quotable from the Bible. Right? Just take that. You are not that important. Pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. For we are each responsible for our own conduct. This is good advice from the scripture. Amen? And Paul lived this. Paul, the church age messenger, the great apostle, the one who was a Pharisee of Pharisees, the one who laid the foundation for the church, the one that said, if any other person, man or angel, bring anything other than what I've brought to you, let him be accursed, and let him acknowledge that the things that I write are the commandments of the Lord. Amen. That Paul. When he was shipwrecked, he's out there gathering firewood. Why? Because it needed to be done. And he got a snake bite for his trouble. Right? It wasn't, you know, he wasn't too proud. He didn't sit there and say to his entourage, guys, go, you know, come on, go get some firewood and you go do this and you go do that because I can't get my manicured hand, right? And we see the preacher so-called in the land today that we, you know, people call great ministries. And they're in mansions and driving around in limos and they've got an entourage. Even in the message, there's great ministries that have entourages and people, oh, you can't get too close and don't touch them. And they won't fly on a, you know, they'll fly on a private plane. They have a private jet because, oh, we can't be among the sinners. Right? They think themselves to be something. Amen? But we are called to be humble. We are called to humility of service. Amen. Not to think that somehow we are above a task or a duty or service to someone else. Amen. We are not some great person, but yet we are great in his eyes, but not as the world sees. Brother Branham said it like this. He said, the way up is down. Right? If you'll humble yourself, you will be exalted, the Bible says. Doing those little things shows that you have a big heart. It shows what's in your heart. It shows that you care, that you're a servant, that you want to, you have a desire to be helpful and to be a blessing. Amen? Let me read to you, I found this was a little story. Thought this was interesting. There was this man named George Bolt. Maybe you've heard of him. Probably not, though. He lived a long time ago. As a young man, he worked faithfully for years at the front desk of a small hotel. So he was in the hotel business, and he was just working in a small establishment, but he did it faithfully. And one day, an elderly couple came in looking for a room. However, on this particular occasion, every room in the place was completely, it was full. And it so happened that in the town, I don't know if there was something going on or whatever, but there was no rooms anywhere, right? All the hotels were full. His place was no different. And he realized that this elderly couple would have no place to sleep. So he offered them his own personal room to have a place to sleep. And, you know, they didn't want to take it, but he insisted. He wanted them to have his room. And so they did. And the next morning when they were checking out, the elderly man said to him, his name was George, he said, you're the kind of man that should be managing the best hotel in the country. Just running working at the front desk of a small hotel, right? And the man said, he said, someday I'm going to build that hotel for you. Well, it worked out or happened that several years later, he received a letter. Shows you how old this is, right? Wasn't an email. Wasn't a phone call even. It was a letter. And in the letter, or in the envelope, contained a plane ticket to New York and a note from that man. And the man invited him to come visit him in New York City. So he got on a plane, went to visit that gentleman that he had given a room to so many years before. And when he arrived, the gentleman took him to a downtown New York City and he showed him a building, a huge building. And he said, George, this is the hotel that I built for you to manage. He stood in amazement at this glorious, amazing structure. It was the Waldorf Astoria Hotel. That man was William Waldorf Astor. He was a multi-billionaire, I guess, millionaire, whatever. The wealthiest man in the country at that time, I suppose. And he recognized this young man's faithfulness to his duty. And he made him the manager of his brand new hotel. The biggest, the best hotel in the country. And he said, you're the one I want. Because when nobody was looking, he did the right thing. He had a heart to serve. He had a desire to help. And he saw his character on display. He was doing something that was just a little thing. No, he didn't know who they were. Nobody really knew who they were. But he showed himself faithful, and that man recognized it, and he said, that's who I want. Amen? And he became the manager of one of the most magnificent hotels in the country, still well known today. I want to look at a scripture that is always striking to me. 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 11. And this is... They're speaking about the prophet here, Jehoshaphat. We kind of are just jumping into it, but I just want to read this one verse, and we'll see here in a minute. But it says, Jehoshaphat said, is there not a prophet here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him? And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah. And this is always striking to me because of the way that Elisha is announced. Elisha was a greater prophet than Elijah by all accounts. Right? He had a double portion. He did twice as many miracles. Right? He was a mighty, powerful prophet in his own right. But he's introduced here as the guy that washed Elijah's hands. Amen? He carried Elijah's water. He was Elijah's servant. That's the way the great prophet Elisha is announced. Amen? He's known as the water carrier. Now that's an honorable position. And he gladly carried that out. He was Elijah's servant. And he didn't complain. He didn't try to say, oh man, I've got a ministry. When am I going to, you know, when is my ministry going to flourish? When is my time to be a prophet? No, he was a faithful servant. So much so that those looking around just said, well, that's the guy that washed his hands. Amen? He proved himself faithful, and that's why God gave him a double portion. He was elevated as a prophet of the Lord because he faithfully was a servant to Elijah. Amen? Moses was the same way. Moses was trained. Amen? He was a great man in Egypt and humbled in the desert. Amen? He went through the fire and the refining of humiliation. He lost his station. But he proved faithful to God. Amen. Is that right? Let's look at a couple of quotes here as we just continue on this. Doors in a door, he said, it isn't so with our king. The least little thing we do, he sees it. So he's speaking about those that didn't see, where the king didn't see the little girl, right? She waved her flag and he never saw her, but he said, it isn't so with our king. He sees the least little thing that we do. He knows the very things and thoughts that's in our hearts, whatever we do, what little it is. And how do we serve him? We serve as we serve each other. If I don't love you, how can I love him? See? In so much as you've done unto these my little ones, you've done it unto me. See, it's the little things that we leave undone sometime that breaks the whole chain and lets us go free, just denominational minded, and forget about these little things that really are the essential things. Every word of God is essential. None of it can be left out. We got to take every word of it just the way it was wrote. And then God hiding himself in simplicity and revealing himself in the same. He said, so it pleases God to reveal himself and then hide himself. Hide himself and reveal himself in simple little things. It's put over the top of the head of man because you say, why would God just do that? It's because that man was made up in the beginning not to try to shift for himself. A man was made to rely completely on God. That's the reason we're likened unto lambs or sheep. Sheep cannot lead himself. He has to have a leader. And the Holy Spirit is supposed to lead us. So man is made that way. And God made all of his works so simple that the simple could understand it. I'm so thankful for that. We are the ones that complicate it. He said, and God makes himself simple with the simple in order to be understood by the simple. In other words, he said in Isaiah 35, I believe he said, though a fool should not err therein, it's so simple. We know that God is so great till we expect it to be some great something and we miss the simple things. We stumble over simplicity. That's how we miss God, is by stumbling over simplicity. God is so simple until the scholars of these days and all days miss him a million miles. Because in their intellects, they know there's nothing like him so great. But in his revelation, he makes it so simple, they go plumb over the top of it and miss it. Amen. Amen. And we do that if we aren't careful. We see God has said, just do this or don't do this. And oh, that's just a little thing. We don't have to worry about, you know, what about the... No, but that. Amen? So many examples in the Bible of this. Joseph was thrown into prison. He was a slave, right? He was a slave first, enslaved. And as a slave, he could have said, man, you know... God isn't even with me. What, you know, here I am, enslaved. God's abandoned me. I'm not even in Israel anymore. I'm in Egypt. I might as well just do what I want to do. But he was faithful. He kept God's laws. Amen. He was obedient to God and faithful to it, even as a slave. And God rewarded him by making him a prisoner. Amen. By getting him thrown in jail. And then in the jail, he could have said, man, that was how God treated me. I was here, I did the right thing, and this is how I ended up. But no, he kept doing those little things. He was faithful just where he was. He was faithful in slavery. He was faithful in prison. And eventually, because he was faithful in that station of life, God lifted him up. And he became second in command of all of Egypt. Amen? Elevated to ruler. David was the same way. David was a shepherd. Now, I don't know exactly how the economy of Israel worked, but I can't imagine that a shepherd was a particularly glorious, you know, occupation. No offense, Brother Juan. Right? I imagine that a shepherd in those days, you were born a shepherd, you would remain a shepherd, and you would die a shepherd. Right? It wasn't, you know, crowned in glory. It wasn't the people that, you know, all the ladies were excited about and they were singing songs about. They were off by themselves with sheep. But yet, David was faithful. He was true to where God had placed him. He didn't consider that a little thing. In fact, he looked at it as an opportunity to commune with God. Hey, I'm out here with the sheep. I've got a chance to talk to God. I've got a chance to be close to him. And when the lion came and took a sheep, God was there and gave him the lion. And when the bear came, God was there. Because he was being faithful in a little thing of taking care of his father's sheep. And he was in training to be a king. Amen. Training to be a king without even knowing it. Off tending his sheep. Amen. I wonder if that could be us tonight. Amen. In training to be the queen. Amen. All he's looking for is just be faithful. Just do the little things. Just do what you're supposed to do where I've put you. James 2:14 says, "What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." We reflect on Christ. Young people, you reflect on Jesus Christ. If you say, I'm a Christian. You say, I'm a Christian, people are watching you. How do they carry themselves? What do they do? Amen? You reflect on Christ. You reflect on this church. You reflect on your parents. You reflect on your family. Amen? Be faithful. And don't just be a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. So, we want to be faithful to God's word. So, some practical things here. Just a short list. We're not going to be too much longer here. But just some practical things to think about as a faithful follower of Christ, right? Is your word good? Do you follow through on your promises? Right? If you don't, it's reflecting poorly. This is a little thing that you can do almost every day. Do you follow through? I'm going to do this. Okay. All right. Do you do it? Do you follow through on it? Do others have to constantly remind you to get things done? Mom and dad, preach it. Mom and dad have to remind you to get things. You know you're supposed to do it, but somebody has to nag you. Sisters, don't be looking at your husbands. Right? Faithful. Being faithful. That's what you're supposed to do. You know you're supposed to, things that you're supposed to do. Somebody have to constantly remind you to do it. Do you have a habit of not following through? You've actually turned it into a habit. Some people do that. It actually becomes their normal operating mode. Where you just know, everybody then just, you get a reputation. People just know, well, he said he's going to, but, really, we're not counting on it. Yeah. Some people live their whole lives like that. It starts out your age. Amen? It starts out in your youth, and then they build that into a habit, and that becomes their life. Same thing, I'm going to step on toes. It's the same thing with people that are late. Everybody has one in their family. We had a family, in our family, it was my aunt and uncle, and they don't watch this, but right, we always knew, okay, family gathering. Well, we'll tell them it's this time, and then maybe they'll be on time. Because they're always, and it was like clockwork. They were exactly the same amount late every single time. That's a habit. Right? I told you I was going to step on toes. I didn't mention anybody here. This is my family, okay? That's a little thing that you can be faithful in. Remember, you reflect on Christ. Well, they're always late. You know so-and-so, oh yeah, the ones that are always, yeah. You have a habit of not following through. Do your parents believe you when you promise to do something for them? You want to be thought of as faithful, right? And then, for your young people now, are you always on time? If you promise to be home at a certain time, do you keep your word? right? Or do you at least call and something comes up? Are you thoughtful of your parents, right? Are you obeying their rules? Say that, man, I'm too old for that. No, that's a little thing you can do. You can be faithful in that. God wants you to be faithful in that. Can people trust you not to spread gossip or rumors? Man, don't tell that person something because you know it's going to go. Everybody's going to know about it if you tell them. There are people, you'll find out people like that. There are people like that in church. You hang around enough, you'll notice, well, I'm not going to tell that person because I know the whole church will know about it. Don't be that person. Amen. Be trustworthy. And are you careful with what you've been given? Are you careful with, resources? Are you careful with money? And are you thoughtful and prayerful about how you spend your time and resources? These are all ways that you can be faithful just in little things. Right? That seem like little things, but those are building to big things. Those everyday little things will lead to more trust, greater responsibility. This is how God runs his kingdom. He gives you, okay, just do that. It's easy for you. You can do it. I know you can do it. Just do this. And then you do that. It's all right. Oh, now I give you this. Now I give you that. Now I can trust you. And before you know it, amen, you're spiritually blessed on your way. Amen. Mature. When we begin to think that little things, these little things in our life don't matter, that's when we are on our road to unfaithfulness. Amen? That's how unfaithfulness across the board, however you want to apply that word, that's how it starts. Well, the little thing doesn't matter. Unfaithfulness in marriage, that's how it starts. Just a little look. Right? I read an account one time of about the Southern Pacific Railroad. And, the railroads, these trains are huge, right? Just, they're massive and tons of energy and power behind them. And occasionally they would have, these wrecks. That's where the term comes from. It was a train wreck, right? They're bad. You can go watch old film of trains crashing into each other and crazy stuff, right? But there was a particularly bad wreck in the Southern Pacific Railroad where a train derailed and it just crashed and it was a horrible catastrophe. And so of course they did an investigation. What caused this? Why did this train, it didn't run into another train, it just suddenly derailed and it was just awful. And they began to investigate because there was a lot of money involved. And they kept at it and kept at it and kept at it. And they finally found the cause. And they traced it all the way back to a squirrel. Thought I was going to say something big, huh? A little ground squirrel that dug a little hole underneath the train track. And he dug that little hole and nobody did anything about it. And then the hole got bigger. And he kept digging, and then pretty soon water got in the hole, and pretty soon it destabilized the whole bed, and it looked fine from the outside, and nobody did anything about it until the train came along, and it caused a wreck. The weight of the train hit it, and it just plunged into destruction. Right? All because of a little varmint. A little thing that was easy to take care of. But nobody did it. Amen? And it ended up in horrible, horrible destruction. In God's only provided place of worship, Brother Branham says this. He says, every little jot, everything you must be faithful in. It's always the little vine, the little foxes that spoils the vine. Sometimes it's not the big things you do, it's the little things you leave undone. Remember, a chain is only its strongest at its weakest link. Blessed are they that do all the commandments of God, that they might have a right to enter in. do all, God said. If it's said for women to have long hair, you say, a man told me not long ago, he said, I don't preach a clothesline religion. I said, then you're not preaching the gospel. Amen. If you're not preaching all of the word, you're not preaching the gospel. Amen. That's right. He said, God laid it out there. He said what to do. And you either do it. That's your natural, reasonable thing. What little thing, what the little insignificant. Jesus said, blessed are they that would take all the little things and just do the little thing. And a woman to let her hair grow out, that's why. That's just something she can do. And she won't even do that. She won't even do that. Oh, teach us the great things. How can you teach the great things when you won't do the simple, common thing? Because you see, your motive and objective is wrong. It's your love to God. Lord, I don't care what you want me to do. I'm willing to do it. Then you're getting somewhere. But if you don't do it that way, the way that he said do it, well, amen, you're off for a shipwreck. Amen? Leaving little sins to fester in your life eventually brings calamity. It grows and it grows. It doesn't get better. And it can undermine the very foundation of your spiritual life and cause a train wreck. Amen? And people, we only see it when the train wreck happens. And whoa, what happened? Well, you let this thing go undealt with. Amen? I'll defend our pastor one more time, because I do it every time. He is dealing with those things when he's up here preaching hard. Amen. And he's dealing with spirits and people, you know, they get their hackles up and you know, push back on it. But that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to root out the squirrels that are making holes in your spiritual foundation before it becomes a train wreck. Because once it's a train wreck. It's a mess. It's a lot harder to deal with. We've got to aggressively root sin out of our lives. Amen? Because a little compromise leads to a bigger compromise. A little obedience leads to a bigger obedience. It's the same principle. But you take a little bit, it always leads to more. Jesus said, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Amen? Like I said before, it's just a little makeup. Just a little bit. A little, it gets real quiet in here. Amen. Little touch up. A little bit of this. A little bit of worldliness. A little bit of this worldly music. I'm not, you know, going to concerts. Just a little bit. Watch out. I only wear shorts sometimes. Watch out. I the skirt just gets a little bit higher. And a little bit higher. And a little bit higher. Watch out. Heading for a train wreck. Little disobedience leads to trouble. And brother, sister, the thing about it is we can do much better. We are called to so much higher. Amen? Amen. Instead of seeing how far we can push the line, we should be living for God all the way. Because your obedience makes a difference. It matters. You have power. Amen? The things that you do make a difference. Young people, the things that you do make a difference. There was a story one time, we'll be quick about this, right? There was a story one time about they were sending care packages off to Burma, I believe it was, right? And they would send these boxes and they would, you know, send them out. And there was a little boy and he donated a penny for the care package. And the lady that was putting the care packages together, she took the penny and said, well, I don't want to send them a U.S. penny or whatever. So she bought a tract and put it in the care package. Ends up going to Burma. It ends up going to a chief. He gets the care package. He gets the tract. God moves on his heart through the track and he gets saved. He begins to share the gospel with his friends and his village and his people. All because a little boy gave a penny. Just a little thing. That was just a little thing. Well, yeah, it was a little thing. But look at what God did with it. Look at this. We probably heard this testimony. Let's read this for this testimony Brother Brown gives here. He says, there was a day, this is from testimony raising the dead boy. He says, that was the day when you Methodists had as hard a time as we're having now or worse. And so people look at it and throw it down the street. Nobody wanted it directly. A little old boy come along with his daddy's suspenders on, hanging down his neck, pants all ragged, barefooted, and said, what are you giving away? So she's giving away tracts on the street, right? That's what he's saying, that they were having a hard time getting people to take the tracts. Okay? And then this little boy, this little poor, barefooted, ragged boy says, what are you giving away, lady? And she said, a tract. Would you like to have one? And he gave it to him. He looked at it, and he said, I can't read. He couldn't even read, but he was interested. Said, well, they're going to have a meeting down there tonight. You know who come to the meeting that night? That woman and that little boy. So the woman was being faithful. Right? There was nobody taking her tracts. But she spoke to one little ragged-looking little boy. Whoop-dee-doo. Right? That would be the earthly thinking of it. But she went and the little boy went. The old faithful preacher, no matter who was there, he got there and he preached just as hard as he could. Now, what if he would have just said, well, you know, nobody showed up. I mean, it's just this lady that's been helping me hand out tracts and, I don't know, some little, you know, ragged-looking little boy, he probably just wants something to eat. He doesn't know, you know. Right? Don't you think the devil didn't put those thoughts in his head? It was just a little thing. Well, I guess I'll just preach. But he preached just as hard as he could. He didn't just phone it in. And that sermon God had had on his heart, and that night, that little lad, he said, I don't know, I think it was Moody. I don't think it was Moody, it was one of them. Anyhow, he sent about 500,000 souls to God in his ministry. I believe it was Moody, right? 500,000 souls to God in his ministry. He was converted right there that night. That poor washwoman never knew till she got to heaven what she'd done that day, see? You never know. Listen to this. You never know what you're doing when you're doing something right. You don't even know many times. Just be faithful. Just do the little thing. Just do it anyway. You're going to be blessed. And God's going to use it. He can use that kind of obedience. As I said before, brother, sister, this is a training ground for the bride of Jesus Christ. There is a masterpiece that he is building, right? He is making a masterpiece. And that story of Michelangelo, the great sculptor who created the masterpiece. There's another story about Michelangelo. He was sculpting out of rock. Stone, and he could make them just lifelike. And there was a story about a friend who came to visit him and see his work, and he saw the sculpture that he's working on and the work that he was doing, and he was impressed, and then he went away and came back sometime later, maybe many days later. It was a good amount of time. He came back later, and he saw the sculpture and the work that Michelangelo was doing, and he said he didn't see any change. He said, what have you been doing all this time? You've just been sitting around. You haven't been doing anything, right? Are you even working on this? And this is what he said. I wrote this down. He said, by no means. He said, I have retouched this and I have polished that. I have softened this feature and I've brought out that muscle. And I made more expression here. And I brought more energy to this limb. See, all these little things that the friend didn't even notice. And the friend said, but those are just trifles. Those are just little things. And the great sculptor said, it may be so, but those trifles are what bring perfection. And perfection, he said, is no trifle. Amen. That's what God is doing in your life. Those little things bring perfection. And that perfection is not a little thing. It's a big work. It's an important work. Amen. We are changed by small surrenders all the time. Little decisions that you make in your life. Amen. So I just want to encourage you young people that make a resolution, make a stand. Amen. And see how God blesses you. Because He will bless you. He will bless obedience. Amen. Amen. Let's stand tonight. Musicians, if you'd come. I want to challenge you to try it. Amen? Try it and see. Even, you know, and this goes for young people and old people. If you see it, see if you can find one thing. Amen? That you can change. And because sometimes we get overwhelmed, right? Sometimes we just think, oh, I don't know, this is going wrong, and I've messed it up, and we just throw our hands in the air. Just look for one thing. Just look for those things. Half the battle is just recognizing it. Well, yeah, you know, I have been overlooking that. Right? Isn't that what the prophet said? That's the problem, is we just overlook it. Most of the time it's just recognizing, oh yeah, that is important. Yes. Thank you, Lord, for bringing that to my attention. Amen? If, you know, I was bringing up, you know, being habitually late. If you're habitually late, just do one time. Say, I'm just this one time I'm going to do it. And then do it again. And then do it again. And pretty soon it's a habit. Right? You do it consistently. You make one choice. And it could change everything. Amen. You, when you're driving home from work or school or wherever you are, you're heading home, you know, you've got a choice. Well, you know, I usually listen to the news, or I listen to sports, or I listen to a podcast, or I listen to this. Nothing wrong with those things in particular, right? But maybe one time you just make a choice. You know, I'm going to listen to some worship music. I'm going to see what God will do. I'm just going to make one little change, just a little thing, and see how it changes by the time you get home from that stressful day of work. Amen. You're in a different mood. You walk in, you're in an atmosphere. Amen. Where you can, amen, be who you're supposed to be. Just a simple change like that. Just saying, you know what? I'm going to make sure that I listen to one tape every week. Make one little change like that. One little decision. It'll change. God will multiply it in your life. Amen? I challenge you to look for something. That's how we do this. We start little by little. One decision at a time. You know, another thing I'll challenge you young people. When you come to church, look and write down or listen for one thing that you can take from the sermon that you can apply directly in your life. That I will do this, or I will not do this, or whatever. One thing. Every service. Amen? That'll change your spiritual life. You say, well, you know, I couldn't really find anything. If you can't find anything, take the text of the sermon, write it down and say, I'm going to meditate on that the whole rest of the, until the next service. Read it, and pray about it. That's one thing you can do. You just do one little thing like that. Amen? Just meditating on a scripture like that. And then take another one and meditate on it. And you'll be amazed what God will do in your life. Amen? You ever seen an avalanche? Like, I know you've never seen one, but have you seen pictures or videos of an avalanche? And have you ever seen a snowflake? You see a snowflake, you think, oh, no, what? Just a little snowflake. But an avalanche, Well, it's just a bunch of snowflakes. Right? That's all it is. Just a lot of them piled up on top of each other, on top of each other, on top of each other. And you get enough of them, and there's power. In that case, destructive power. But think about one little thing on a one little thing, on one little thing, on one little thing. You're building your spiritual life. Amen? He's given us talents. He's given us a gift. He's given you the opportunity. He's given you time. He's given you a place here on earth. He's given you a calling. Let's use it. Let's go forward with it. Amen? Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Maybe as we've just been speaking here tonight, ministering on these things, maybe He's already brought one thing or many things to your mind. Don't dismiss those things. It's too easy to dismiss them and say, well, that's nothing. Really examine it. If He's brought it to your mind, your spirit, you examine it with the Word of God. Say, am I right in this? Does this in my life line up with the Word of God? And if He hasn't brought something, you pray, Lord, show me where I am falling short. And He'll do that. Amen? Don't dismiss those things, but instead you take that, and Lord, You brought this to my heart. You brought this to my remembrance. Lord, forgive me. Help me to do better. Give me power. And He will do that. He is your strength. We're not in this alone. We're not supposed to do this by our power. We're supposed to do this by our surrender. But we've got to recognize the importance of it and then surrender to Him. Let's just do that as we pray tonight. Father, Lord, as we just look to You, Father, Lord, maybe in some ways a cutting message, Lord, but yet, Lord, an encouraging one, Lord, knowing that we're called to such a great calling. Lord, and You have such wonderful plans for us. Lord, no doubt there are many, Lord, that where You've brought things to their minds, Father, You've reminded them or brought things before them, Lord, where maybe they've overlooked a little thing that they were supposed to do or not supposed to do, something that You placed in their life, Lord. Something, Lord, that You were looking to see what they would do with it, Father. And Lord, we've all had those times, Lord, and we've all failed. We've all. We wouldn't need a Savior if we hadn't, but we all have fallen short. But yet, Lord, there's grace for that. There's a shed blood of Calvary. It washes away that disobedience. But Lord, we don't want to keep going in those things. We don't want to persist, Lord, in that. So Lord, when You bring those things to our mind and our remembrance, we want to act on them, Father. I pray that You would help these young people, Lord, old people, all, Lord God, but particularly these young people, Lord, as they fight this battle, Lord. Father, I pray that You'd help them, Lord, to make those good choices, Lord. To not dismiss, Lord, your word, Lord. The simplicity of Your word. The obedience, Lord, to be faithful Christians, Lord. Faithful in all ways, Lord, as You've called us to be. And I pray that You'd help them, Lord. I pray that You'd give them power. I pray that they would, Lord, when they would receive this, Lord, they would take that and admit it, Lord. I admit it, Lord, I've done wrong. I messed up. I haven't been faithful like I should. I've overlooked the things. I've dismissed them, Lord. Things that were important to You, Lord, and I've dismissed it. Lord, I pray that they would just surrender those things to You. They would repent of them, Lord, and move on in the power and unction of the Holy Ghost. Lord, you're calling us up higher. We want to respond to that call. We want to be faithful, good and faithful servants, Lord. We love you. We thank you, Lord. I pray, Lord, even now as each one surrenders, Lord, that you would just move, Lord, in their hearts and their minds and their very being, Father. May your Spirit just come. Minister to every need, Lord. Remind us, Lord, that the reason that these things are brought is because you love us so much. Because we're your children. You care. And we're so precious to you, Lord. And Lord, you're doing such a precious, wonderful work in all of us. It means something to you, Lord. And Lord, forgive us if it hasn't meant something to us like it should. Thank you, Father. Bless these young people. Lord, I pray that they would walk in victory, Lord. That they would have victory over those temptations, Lord. The temptation of sin is just to go just a little over the line. Lord, I pray that you would raise up in them a standard, Lord, that would hold against that attack of the enemy. That they would be living symbols, Lord, of your grace and mercy and the overcoming power of the Holy Ghost. We just love you, Lord. We want to honor you in every part of our life. We thank you, Father. We just ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Do you love him tonight? Hallelujah. I'd like to just, maybe we could just sing that little chorus. Lord, my heart is open. And we just want to surrender to him tonight. Amen. I encourage you, don't leave before you've talked it over with him tonight. Amen. Lord, my heart. Lord, my heart. A little higher, maybe. Lord, my heart. Prayer tonight. Hallelujah.